This is KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. Poet Richard Shelton has been one of Arizona's most highly regarded writers for decades. His 1992 book, Going Back to Bisbee, won the Western States Book Award. In 2006, then-Governor Janet Napolitano proclaimed Richard Shelton Day on April 22nd. The now 83-year-old Shelton just had his memoir published. The book, Nobody Rich or Famous, uses the journals of his mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother to tell the family's history. It also delves into his complicated relationship with his father. And Richard Shelton joins me now by phone from Tucson. Richard, the stories in the book make it sound like your grandmother was a heroic figure in your life. Is that true?
Yes, my grandmother was. Charlotte Beach, she is in the book, as she started out, Charlotte Adams. She was heroic in many, many ways. And she saved me from a great deal of pain and trouble. And she was always very loyal and strong. She was a woman who defied public opinion, and she really didn't care. She knew who she was, and she didn't worry about the rest of it. Anyway, she was my savior in many ways. She and her third husband were the only grandparents I've ever known. They were great, just great. So I was raised partly on a farm, their farm, and had my own horse to ride and my own banny rooster and my own little bull calf to take care of. And it was a wonderful kind of life.
Were there certain memories of your grandmother in particular that, you know, you recalled, I understand, but there were maybe some details that from the journal, it made her come to life again for you even more?
Well, the journals were not that kind of journal, although they did make her come to life. I talk about the journals being a kind of code. They called them diaries, but women, farm women, kept this kind of a journal in it. Each day there was an entry, and it was like the weather, what was being done, the fields were being plowed that day, or what was being harvested, and what they did in the house, like mop the kitchen. And that was pretty much the extent of it, although it did record the death of her first child, and it recorded the death of her husband, her third husband. Mm. But in the very barest, sparest way of ways, these were not journals in which they poured out their souls. And but they do give you a very good idea of how busy they were and how the kind of work they were doing all the time, day in, day out.
How much of your parents, how much of your grandmother in particular, did that shape you as someone? Because when people think about you and people who know of your work, they think about this accomplished writer, accomplished poet, to have come from what you did. How much did that shape the person you became? Or did you realize how much it had shaped you?
My mother taught me to read when I was 3 years old. And that probably was terribly important because I started reading early. So in spite of what was going on at home, I could always crawl into a book. There's one scene in which I spend a lot of time up in a tree with a book, and my brother, who is rather brutal, is looking for me to have something to beat up on, but I'm up in the tree and he can't look up, and I'm holding very still with reading my book. That's a kind of typical image of my childhood. I think reading, which my mother taught me, and she was a reader, and she taught me to be a reader, and that made all the difference in the world. Then I had a way of escaping.
It's KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix talking with writer Richard Shelton. His memoir is called Nobody Rich or Famous. Richard, would you describe your family as close, even with the ups and downs?
Oh, sure. It was close. My generation was pretty close. The generation before mine, my mother's generation was quite, and father's generation was quite close, but they were big families. And my family was just three siblings, and we were pretty close. At least my sister and I were very close. It was not a particularly loving family in the sense that one thinks of that. But as I have a scene in which we are threatened from the outside, and we who have been fighting cats and dogs suddenly unite against any outside force. So we had that cohesion, the siblings, and the parents that we united against any problem that came in from the outside, which was basically the law, because my father was a bootlegger and my brother was had a record of illegal activity by the time he was 10.
As you've aged, have you felt a greater need to connect with your family's history? I'm going to use the term nostalgic, sentimental, that may not apply to you, but did you feel a need to connect with your family history in some way?
Well, I felt curious, yes, and the journals that I acquired when my mother died made me very curious about the lives of these people, and the image, the language that recurs in the book is chasing ghosts. I'm always chasing ghosts. Mm-hmm. So I must have had some sort of fixation. I spent several years looking for them. I traveled in Kansas, Illinois, tried to find where they had lived, where they what they had seen, what they had done, etc. And I'm not sure it was because it affected me so much. It was just that I was very, very curious about what their lives were like that produced my parents and ultimately me. I guess I never even questioned that impulse to find out, to find the ghosts and see where they lived and what they did and so on. So much of it, instead of getting on a computer to find out, I got in the car and drove to Kansas. And then I didn't find much there, so I went on to Illinois, and there I started to find stuff.
Titles of books sometimes are meaningful and sometimes not. So I want to ask you about it. When Nobody Rich or Famous as a title can bring about certain reactions, and for me to some extent, it almost sounds like you're saying, hey, our family isn't so different from anybody else's, and that's kind of comforting in a way. Should I interpret it that way?
Well, yes, but it's actually a line from a poem, and I quote several lines from that poem toward the end of the book when my father's dying, and it's a poem about him. I wanted to throw the spotlight on him toward the end of the book. There's a long section in which he's dying at the end of the book, and I'm taking care of him.
Well, that's one of the more powerful parts of the book, your relationship with your father. Can you simplify it for us and say, tell us how much your relationship with him changed or even evolved?
Well, it changed a great deal. My older brother, who was 6 years older, was always his boy. And I was always my mother's boy, and I was the one that got the education, etc. And as we grew older, that relationship began to shift. At the age of, say, 15, I would never have dreamed that that could happen, that I could get to be really close to him, because we were at odds totally when I was, say, 15. His behavior was really pretty bad. And to a teenager, that's awful. We all changed a little bit along the way. But my relationship with him at the end was good, very good.
That's 83-year-old Richard Shelton. We've been talking about his new memoir. It's called Nobody Rich or Famous.